The dream comes after he makes that decision. Do you notice that? He doesn't get the dream until he makes a conscious decision to do the right thing. I think that's very interesting. Because a lot of times we say, well, why doesn't God speak to me? Maybe if you first made a conscious decision to say, God, I will be obedient to whatever you say, maybe you'll start hearing from him more. You might not like what you hear, but maybe you'll hear from him. Just a thought. So Joseph, he in this situation, we see that instead of just using the Bible to biblically proof text revenge, he looks not only to his interests, but to the interests of others. In this case, Mary and her unborn son. And then he has the first of four dreams. Let's take a look at that dream. I think we got up there. Verse 24. Now again, loaded passage here. It says when the dream that, this was referring back to what we read earlier. The phrase in a dream from what we read earlier appears five times in the first two chapters of Matthew alone. It's interesting how God was speaking through dreams. And it also uses the phrase Joseph, son of David, and that's very loaded because David was this king from whom the Messiah was supposed to come. So here the angel says, Joseph, son of David. And it's also even more loaded than that because that's the only time Matthew ever uses the term son of David, or son of David. The only other time Matthew uses that is for Jesus, son of David, like father, like son. Okay, now verse 24. Joseph woke up, did what the Lord commanded him. There's no why me, God. There's no hedging and hawing. God spoke. Okay, I'll do it. And this is a big deal. Either way, he's in trouble. If he says, this baby's not mine, he's in trouble. If he says, this baby is mine, he's in trouble. No longer will he be Sadiq. He'll be this other word that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. But he'll be this. And this is not a flattering word that they used then. These are the people who don't observe the Torah. They will pass on tithing. They will eat ham sandwiches. They will play cards with Gentiles. You know, if Joseph follows what the angel told him to do, he's now going to be a friend of sinners, labeled as a friend of sinners. All right, well, this comes later. After the birth of Jesus, there's this appearance of these mysterious visitors referred to as the Magi, and then Joseph has another dream. Let's look at what happens in this next dream. When they had gone, these Magi, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream again. Get up, the angel says. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up. Here we go again. Got up, took the child's mother during the night, didn't wait, didn't say, maybe God, you got this wrong, let's test it out. He immediately responded, stayed in Egypt. And look at this. So was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. We'll come back to that in a little bit. There was a destiny that God had in store here, and because of Joseph's obedience, this destiny for his kid and for us came to pass. All right, let's take a look at the next one, Matthew 2:19-23. Another dream. After Herod had died, actually I think we're going to get two for one here with dreams, two dreams in this passage. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take your child and mother, and go to the land of Israel for those who are trying to take the child's life or death. So what do you think Joseph did, from what we know of Joseph? He did it. He was obedient. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he listened to the dream, withdrew the district of Galilee. And again, what God was trying to accomplish is being accomplished through this obedient father. Four times, twice here, God speaks, and Joseph responds right away, even though it's going to cost him every time. Every time he's responding to God, it's costing him. First time, reputation. Next time, discomfort. I mean, I have to move my entire family to Egypt right now. I mean, all these unknowns. But he does it. All because of something he didn't even do. He's not paying for his own consequences. This is something God's up to. This is where I need to just break from the text for a second. I got to talk to our teenagers. Who's here as a teenager? Can I just talk to you guys for a second? All right. Okay, teenagers. I got to talk to you guys because one of the things that really jumped out at me when I read this and as I studied it, Joseph and Mary were young. They were, if you look at some of the earlier sources, they were 12 or 13. There's a chance that Joseph might have been older, but if so, on the older edge, he would have been about 18. I'm reading this thing with a whole new set of eyes because wow, God can speak to you in dreams right now. God can start accomplishing amazing things through you right now. This is not a wait until I'm old thing. In a lot of ways, that's dangerous to do. This is a right now thing. God wants to speak to you. God wants to use you. And how powerful an impact you can have if right now, even before you're a teenager, you start listening to the call of God and responding to it. And then adults, who here is older than teenager, this really struck me too, because I'm thinking about like my own kids. I start to think how their life is supposed to turn out. You know, I've got 3 and 5, and I'm already, okay, I'm going to pay for college. Just assuming that God's call is going to be for them to go to college. And I'm looking at their talents right now, and Emma says she wants to be a shepherd and a mom, and I'm thinking, you're going to be a doctor, girl. You're way too smart. You know? And I stop, and I'm like, am I even asking God what his destiny is for them? And am I even training them to ask what their destiny is? Look at this. I mean, the obedience of a teenager was influential in the course of history, our salvation. Are we doing that? Are we believing God has destinies for our kids? And are we praying like that? And are we calling it out in them? And not only that, take it a little bit step farther, you see around Jesus, there was the activity of God's people all around him all the time. When Mary comes to her relative Elizabeth, Elizabeth's like, well, look what happened to you, girl! You know, you're all knocked up and all this. She's like, she was attentive enough to the Holy Spirit where something inside of her leapt. And she's like, who am I that I'm in the presence of what God is doing here? And then there were these other godly people who prophesied before Jesus was born and when he was born. And these magi that came from, wouldn't it be cool if our church became like that? Where we could, God was speaking through us and we were able to speak into the destiny of one another and build each other up and recognize God's activity and not jump to conclusions and be all condemning, but rather saying, what is God up to in this wonderful thing that blows away social norms? What is God up to? And calling that out of each other. Okay, that was bonus. Now what's your charge? Okay, let's get back in here to the scriptures. Specific stuff to the narrative. Now that we've looked at Joseph a little bit, and we've looked at a little bit of his life, I hope those of you who are men are starting to see some transferable qualities here. This idea of responsibility, responsibility. We have a response we can make. When things come our way that we don't expect, when things come our way that we might think are just life-shattering, it could be that God's at, well, it's not could be. God is at work even in tragic situations. And instead of just going right to anger or going right to, this is the way I should respond, what if we just pause like Joseph and just say, okay, I'm going to choose to do the right thing. God, what is it? And watch as he reveals that to us. Intentionally listening and responding to God rather than just doing what we think might be right. Now, here's something that was very, very interesting. In your notes, if you want to pull those out now, the green sheets, we're finally getting to those. At the top, I wrote, like, father, like son. And this was the concept that started this whole one for me, was I remember thinking, okay, when Jesus is in the garden and he says, Father, not my will, but thine be done, before his execution, I remember, wasn't that a lot like Joseph? In the dreams, okay, God, I would rather not have my marriage start like this. I would rather not probably have to move to Egypt and all these other places. But not my will, but yours be done. Well, it goes beyond that. The word did not disappoint. In your notes, there's a first section, and there's a blank line. If you could fill in Joseph in that blank line. Because look at Joseph. Here's some of the things we see about Joseph, the father of Jesus, the earthly father. Joseph was referred to as the son of David. We saw that. Joseph was zealous for the law. Otherwise, they would not have called him a tzaddik. Joseph protected a woman from stoning. They could have killed Mary. Joseph was willing to be associated with a sinner. Joseph looked not only to his interests, but to the interests of others. Joseph lived a life of here and put into practice here and now. If God says it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. Joseph practiced sacrificial obedience, and Joseph was involved in a scandalous wedding. I think you can see the punchline before it gets here. The next blank, fill it in. Jesus, almost nothing changes in the wording. Look at that. Jesus was referred to as the son of David, this time with a capital S. Jesus was zealous for the law. Jesus protected a woman from stoning. Jesus was willing to be associated with sinners, called a friend of sinners. Jesus looked not only to his interests, but the interests of others. He came not to be served, but to serve, the word says. Jesus lived a life up here and put in practice here and now. He spoke that out. Jesus practiced sacrificial obedience. Jesus will be involved in a scandalous wedding as the bride, the church, is united with the bridegroom, Christ. Like Father, like Son. And I am not going to downplay the impact that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had on Jesus' life. She was an amazing woman of God. We will continue to speak to that. There will be times you focus on that. I'm not going to take away from the fact that Jesus had a heavenly Father who was heavily invested into Jesus' life. I'm not going to take away from the conscious decisions that Jesus was making to apply the spiritual disciplines and seek the Father and to be obedient. I'm not taking stuff away from that. I'm just saying that we can see some influence, I believe, from the life of Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. And as I looked at the Luke passage, here's what jumped out to me. I'll group it all in this. If we can put up all those passages from Luke, here's something very interesting. In Matthew, it appears as though Joseph is really highlighted, and it's looking at specifically Joseph's life. And look what happens in Luke. Almost every time Joseph is mentioned, he's with Mary in this partnership. They're almost always together in the activity of God. Joseph went there to register with Mary. So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present it to the Lord. The father's child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they turned to Galilee, at their own town, to Nazareth. Every year, his parents, both of them, went to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. It's not as if, okay, guys, you just do your part. Women, you just do your part. We're all in this together. In this case, they're talking about as family. And then in the broader sense, as we look at other scriptures, just all of us. We're in this together. And when we all do our part, and we do our part together, amazing things happen. So I hope you've had a whole bunch of takeaways from this. Just in case, you're still going, okay, how does this apply to my life? Guys, this is an example we can follow and ask God for the grace to follow. For those of you who are not yet fathers or are fathers with young kids, this is so crucial. These early years, they're so crucial to set that kind of example and to decide now. Decide now. It doesn't automatically just all of a sudden, oh, I know what to do as a dad. All that character stuff's got to get formed early. And allowing God right now, you know, to be a work in your life where you can say, all right, I want to be a Joseph. I want to have that kind of character. I want to look not to my interests, the interests of others. I want to be hearing from God and putting it into practice. You know? And those of us who, or those of you who maybe are feeling, well, yeah, but that stage has passed. Now I have adult kids or I don't have kids or whatever. I tell you, there was a, Brecky is another guy that used to work with us, and I remember him at camp once sharing and just tears coming out of his eyes. He's not like a cry guy. And tears coming out of his eyes as he described what happened when his dad got converted later in life. And he saw the change that God made in his dad. It changed their entire family as he saw God changing his father. And so maybe if you've got adult kids or if you're an uncle or if you're whatever, don't underestimate what can happen right now if God's at work in your life. And people can see that change. So that's what the guys, and you know, and women, those of you who are very young, look for a Joseph. You know? Look for someone who's not going to put himself first. Look for someone who's not just going to be one of the guys. Look for someone who's going to love you like this. And to be able to, you talk about spiritual leadership, that's spiritual leadership, setting the example yourself. Setting the example yourself, being willing to lay down your life. It's so frustrating when guys will misuse the word of God and think that spiritual leadership, when the Bible talks about that, means I'm in charge. It means what is biblical leadership? It's putting other people first and serving and leading through example primarily. Women look for that. And how do you find that? Well, you be a Mary. Don't just go, where are all the Josephs? Well, be a Mary. Because the Josephs are saying, where are all the Marys? You know what I mean? And those of you who have kids, whether they're young or adult, those of you, women, find Josephs to get into your life. Expose them to other great examples, either from a distance or up close, so that we can experience this community that God has designed. There's a lot there for us today. I encourage you to reflect on these things. I'm excited for what's ahead, too. Next week, Phil is going to be sharing with us. I'm really excited to hear from him. And then we're going to start a series called Bible Point. I have been chomping at the bit for this one because I am rediscovering the Word of God in a huge new way. Anyway, so we're going to start to get into just some amazing things about the Scripture itself, how we apply the Scripture around here, some of the evidence that supports, you know, why we hold it at that kind of high regard. It's going to be a good series, so look forward to that. Well, one of the things we also try to do here as a church is always pray a blessing as you go forth. You get enough curses during the week, and so we want this to be a place where, you know, at least once a week I can have someone pray for God's blessing over me. So as we close today's service, would you please stand, and I'm going to ask God to bless you as you go forth. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we do. We thank you that you're a God that loves to bless us. We thank you, dear God, that is so good that you don't just give us what we want, but you desire to bless us with things that really matter and bless us with things that we need. So we pray, God, as we go forth, you'll do that. Lord, bless us with insights. Bless us with a good conscience. Bless us with the resources we need to do your work. Bless us with ears that can hear and eyes that can see. Bless us with patience when we need patience. Lord, some of us need to be blessed with healing, and some of us need to be blessed with hope. Lord, whatever the blessing is that we need, that you desire to provide, Lord, we ask that you would do that. So Lord, as we go forth, thank you that that blessing does go with us. Keep us safe, bring us back together so we can hear more from your word and worship you together again. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.